agus fáilte a ráis to the Crazy House Prices podcast. I'm your host, Ciarán Mulqueen, and today, in episode 19, I am talking all about mortgages. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by the thought of organizing your finances for a mortgage, this episode is a goldmine for you. I will be talking about the 6-month preparation period before applying for a mortgage, a time that can really make or break your home buying journey. But here's the thing, it's not just about getting your documents in order, it's about understanding the nuances of the mortgage market, the unexpected challenges you might face, and how to navigate them smoothly. From credit reports to clean bank statements, and even the little habits that can save you thousands, I will be covering it all in this episode. There are some incredible insights in this episode that you won't want to miss, tips and tricks that I've gathered over the years from thousands of conversations. So whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to switch your mortgage, stay tuned as I am going to tell you absolutely everything you need to know to make your home buying journey a success. So let's get started. Hi, I am just going to pause the podcast for a second to talk to you about some sponsors of the Crazy House Prices podcast. This episode is sponsored by Daft.ie. Daft is Ireland's number one property portal. Daft has the most properties available for sale and rent and is the preferred national property website amongst consumers in Ireland. So Daft.ie's core vision is to make buying, selling and renting property better for everyone in Ireland. So Daft's mission is to simplify each step of every property transaction in the Irish market to make buying, selling and renting in Ireland simple. That's why Daft.ie build innovative tools like Offers by Daft, an online real-time offers platform that provides never-before-seen transparency for the Irish consumer when buying a home. Are you looking to buy? Maximise your chances of finding your dream home by visiting Daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. These 6 months are really important for getting yourself organized. So when you're applying for a mortgage, 6 months is usually the minimum a lender will look back at. So depending on how the mortgage lending market is at the time of your application, that is, if interest rates are going up, lenders may be under pressure to be more strict with their lending and they may want to look back even further. So it's wise to be organized. So in this episode, I'm going to run through basically everything you need to have organized in terms of documents, expectations, and habits. If you get organized now, future you is going to be very happy with you. Even if you're not the type of person who's usually organized like me, it's time to change that. So buying a home is likely to be the biggest and most expensive purchase of your life, so it's worth the effort of changing habits if needed. These habits are easier to keep once you establish them and will be very beneficial if you ever want to switch your mortgage or sell your home or any other things life throws your way. For example, for us, a challenge that we found was that we get our pay slips posted out to us each week in paper form. Myself and Melissa are teachers, and the Department of Education wastes millions of euros a year doing this, and no one knows why. They've very recently switched to e-pay slips, which is very welcome, but when we were doing our mortgage and when we switched our mortgage, it was all paper. So thankfully they've changed that now. But to combat that, at the time we got ourselves a little filing cabinet and organized it with labels for each section. So banking, insurance, payslips, marriage certificate and so on. Keeping the payslips in the right order helped save us hours of hassle and stress, and that rather than trying to find them all in a press or in a cabinet somewhere. So we already had them all in chronological order, so it was made far easier because we took that extra couple of seconds to just put them in the right order. And because we had our little filing cabinet, it just saved us so much hassle and very much decreased the likelihood of arguments over who left what where. Now, a little tip for you when it comes to mortgages and saving up your deposit. You'll always hear about 10% deposit to buy your home. I advise that you aim to save 12 or 13%, as you're going to need these extra funds to cover additional costs like stamp duty, solicitor's fees, and so on. So now let's talk about your credit report. So the first thing you need to do is to check your credit report. You go to centralcreditregister.ie and apply for your credit report. It's free, usually posted out within a couple of days. It's important because it will show up any issues with your credit history. Depending on the issue, this could take a little while to get sorted or it can take a long time, which is why I recommend doing it as early as you can. Here's an example. So for us, I took out a 10,000 euro loan from the credit union for 5 years, and that was to pay for my postgrad to become a teacher. I never missed a payment on the loan. However, I did have to stop working for 3 6-week blocks to do my teaching practice. And credit unions are usually great to deal with, so I gave them a call and I adjusted my repayments to interest only for a while to bring my repayments down while I wasn't earning any money. And being able to do this straight away over the phone was really handy at the time, but in hindsight, this was a big mistake as I had no paper trail then to explain the break in repayments. So between the time I took out the loan and the time I paid it back, my credit union closed down and all the accounts were moved to another branch. So you can probably see where I'm going with this. So when we applied for our mortgage, a complication arose on my credit report as it showed that I had missed payments on my credit union loan, even though I hadn't. So I had to rectify this by getting an employee in the new credit union to state in writing that the error had occurred on their end when accounts were transferred and that I had never missed a repayment. My credit report also showed a number of missed payments from a credit card I had when I was a student. We're talking like I was in my late teens, I think I was 19, and I hadn't used this credit card in at least a decade and had never renewed it. However, the bank kept trying to take fees out of that particular account, and the non-payment of those fees showed up as missed payments on my credit report. Again, I had to get the bank to put in writing that they made the mistake in attempting to take fees out of a closed account. So these are just good examples that show despite never actually missing a payment, unforeseen issues can arise. So it's important that you check your credit report as soon as you can. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't miss any payments, but there were still a couple of mistakes there on the credit union and the bank side, and that still showed up on my credit report. So you really need to get that checked. It's the centralcreditregister.ie. Next, then, we want to talk about clean bank statements. So we all work hard and we're all entitled to spend our money on whatever we wish. So once you're able to afford your lifestyle and meet all of your monthly financial commitments, then you're free to spend the rest of your money on whatever you like. However, if you want to get a mortgage from a lender, then there are some things that you should just not do. Gambling is a red flag to underwriters. These are the people in banks who decide if you'll get a mortgage or not. They simply just do not like it, as they believe if you're willing to gamble with your own money, then you're going to be more than happy to gamble with theirs. Personally, it's something I've never gotten into, that and smoking, thankfully. But it is, if it's your way of enjoying yourself, then I would recommend doing it in cash, in person, and not online, or with your bank card. And I would just recommend closing your online betting accounts entirely. Then, next thing on bank statements is missing payments. If you have a loan, do not miss a payment. As in my example I just gave you, this will follow you around for years. Even missing payments on things like Netflix can show the lender that you're disorganized and not managing your money well. Lenders also don't like to see overdrafts, and they don't like to see applicants who are over dependent on their overdraft facility. So try avoid using it as much as you can. If you find yourself always relying on your overdraft, then you may need to just come up with a plan to save enough to pay it off and then just cancel it. Because if you don't have it, then you won't keep falling into it. Next up now, we're going to talk about savings and mortgage exemptions. So you will need to show at least 6 months of savings and at least 2 years of accounts if you're self-employed. So getting a deposit for a home is often the most difficult part, but hopefully you've been saving for a long time by now, and lenders love to see regular savings, so the same amount, same dates, just be reliable and consistent. So here are some tips for setting up your savings account so that you have money to handle the day-to-day stuff and money being saved regularly to show you're organized and responsible with your funds. So my top tip for this would be to set up two separate savings accounts, instant and long term. So you use the instant savings account for bills, weddings, gifts, car insurance, unexpected bills, your TV license, if you're paying that at the moment. I know not many people are paying it at the moment because of the whole RTE scandal. But anyway, think of this as your day-to-day account. And then you use the long-term savings account for your deposit or your rent or your mortgage, and think of this as your how to buy a home account. So for your instant savings account, add up all your monthly bills for the year plus extras. So think of your, again, TV license, holidays, car insurance, back to school costs, your bins, your internet, your phone bill, etc., and divide it by whatever number of paydays you have each year. So 26 if you're paid fortnightly, 12 if you're paid monthly. And You might need to estimate a few of these, so always estimate your cost to be more than expected. So here's an example. Say internet 50 euro a month, that's going to be 600 euro a year. Your phone 35 euro a month, 420 euro a year. Two weddings this year, it's going to be around about a grand. One holiday could be looking at 2 grand. Health insurance, say 100 quid a month, 1200 a year. Your car insurance could be 500 quid a year. Your TV license, 160. Your bins could be 30 euro a month, so that's another 360. Your subscriptions and your gym could be 100 euro a month, so 1200 over the year. So let's say your total there is 7,080. Divide this number by the paydays, so in this case we'll divide it by monthly, so that'd be 7,080 divided by 12, and that's 590. So you'll likely have more expenses than this, but you get the idea, your food and everything as well. So this figure is the minimum amount that you should lodge into your savings account each payday, and you should aim to put the rest into your long-term savings account. So for your long-term savings account, try and save a little bit more than your estimated mortgage repayments or your rent will be. I'll talk a little bit more about that when I'm talking about exemptions. So you set up your savings to go out of your current account automatically on payday, and avoid, if possible, withdrawing from your long-term savings account, especially within 6 months of applying for a mortgage. Now, just coming back to that thing about exemptions. So the mortgage lending rules have recently changed. So depending on your buying status, you'll need kind of varying deposit amounts. So if you're a first-time buyer or a second-time buyer or subsequent-time buyer, you're going to need 10%. If you're an investor and you're looking for a buy-to-let mortgage, you're likely need about 30% deposit. If you've owned a home anywhere in the world before, you're classed as a second-time or a subsequent-time buyer here. This will mainly impact you if you're looking to avail of maybe one of the government schemes like Help to Buy or whatever that is only available to first-time buyers. So basically, for first-time buyers, it's capped at 4 times your gross income for a regular mortgage. And for second-time buyers, it's 3.5 times your gross income, not your net income, so your gross income. And you both will need a 10% deposit, and 15% of lenders' mortgages can be given as an exemption. So an exemption is when they will lend more than 4 times or more than 3.5 times, depending on your buying status. So the lending guidelines, they've recently changed. So these are the kind of following these are the rules now. So for owner occupiers, so people who plan to live in the property, it's a 10% deposit. Buy to lets, as I said, is 30% deposit, and there are also new loan to income limits in place which determine how much a borrower can borrow based on their income. So first time buyer, let's give you an example. First time, say, buyer couple with a combined income of 100,000, you can now borrow up to a maximum of 400,000 without an exemption. And a second or a subsequent time buyer, or someone who's already owned a property with a mortgage, with the same income, they can borrow 350,000 euro. However, the banks can lend a certain amount above these limits in certain circumstances. The proportion of lending allowed above these limits to kind of vary depending on the borrower type. It's important to note, though, also that these guidelines aren't set in stone and they may change over time. So whenever you're listening to this, it may be different. But it's always a good idea to just speak with a mortgage lender or a broker or a financial advisor to get a better understanding of the options available to you and the requirements that you need to meet. So for exemptions, lenders are allowed to make 15% of first-time buyer lending can take place above the limits. So 15% of second-time buyer's lending can also take above the limits, and 10% of buy-to-let can take place above the limits. I'm nearly sure those figures are accurate, but I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's 15%. So here's a little, actually, I'll come back to that. So anyway, mortgages are usually given as a maximum of, say, 3.5 times your gross annual income, or 4 times, as I said, if you're a first-time buyer. It's not a given, though. That's not, you're not automatically going to get that. Sometimes you're going to be offered less. It will depend on a number of factors, which I'll explain later. But you might look at those restrictions and think, like, this is mad, Kieran. Have you seen these crazy house prices? 3.5 times my salary is not enough. So that's where the exemptions come in. Okay, so there is one exemption, which is the loan to income limit, and that's when basically someone can borrow a maximum amount regardless of how much they earn. So let's say, for example, if you're a first-time buyer that earns 50,000 euro a year, this means you're allowed to borrow a maximum of 200,000 under the central bank's rules. If you're buying with a partner then who also earns 50,000, that doubles, and now you're on 400,000. However, as I said, 15% of mortgages can be given as exemptions, and some lenders can offer you up to 4.75 times your gross income that can be lent out, which is obviously a massive difference. So that's the loan to income limit, and then there's the loan to value limit, which is far less common to give exemptions on this, and that's when the percentage of the property's value that you can borrow and how much of it you must pay up front in form of a deposit. It's simply called the deposit rule. So first-time buyers and second-time buyers are required to have 10% deposit, and lenders are allowed to exceed this 90% limit in up to 5% of cases. But just saying, I've never heard of a first-time buyer getting an exemption to provide less than a 10% deposit. And according to my research, even in 2018, only 21 mortgage exemptions on loan to value were given to first-time buyers. So not everyone can get an exemption. And if you do, you can usually only get an exemption under one of the lending rules. And the vast majority is going to be your loan to income limit. That's where most exemptions are given, probably all now at this stage, to be honest.
I just want to pause the podcast for a moment to talk to you about a company called Beat the Bank. So the stress of organizing mortgage protection just got a whole lot easier with beatthebank.ie. This amazing Irish company offers the guaranteed lowest price for mortgage protection in the country, and it's not just for first-time buyers. You can switch your own mortgage protection anytime and enjoy the benefits of their market-leading discounts. I, along with hundreds of my Instagram followers, have used Beat the Bank, and the feedback has been amazing over the last 12 months. With their 100% end-to-end digital experience, quoting and applying for mortgage protection has never been easier. You can get a quote in seconds and apply in minutes without the hassle of unwanted sales calls or any paperwork. So visit beatthebank.ie today and protect your mortgage with ease and peace of mind. Beat the Bank saves you time and money on mortgage protection, whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to switch. They've also just launched income protection and life insurance on the site too. And if you have a house or are renting and are planning to buy, you need to consider protecting your income. So check out beatthebank.ie. Now, back to the podcast.
So some lenders will give exemptions all year round, and others use up their quota of exemptions at the start of the year, and some don't offer any exemptions at all. So it really will depend on the lender and the timing of your application. But you're basically to get an exemption, you're going to need to score high on the following criteria: your repayment capacity, your net disposable income, your credit history, your employment history, your current account maintenance, and basically this is to show that you can afford the repayments if interest rates go up. Lenders, when they analyze your application, will use a stress test to gauge your ability to make repayments. So for a while, lenders have been using the 2% above the current available interest rate, or around 1.3 times what the repayments would be. However, interest rates are currently on the rise and have been for a while. No one really knows what's going to happen to them in 2024. Hopefully, they don't keep going up. So the stress tests may be changing. And as I've said, look, I'm not a qualified financial advisor, and I recommend you talk to one or a good broker to be sure what the parameters are when you're applying for your application. But I would have always said around 1.3 times what your mortgage will be. If you save that, you might be able to show that you will qualify for a mortgage exemption. That's exactly what we did, and we managed to get 4.5 times our income. So the criteria that they're looking at then is going to be basically your net disposable income. So sorry, that was repayment capacity, your 1.3 times. So that's your repayment capacity. Then your net disposable income. This is basically the amount of money you have left over after paying your mortgage and all other commitments. So loans, credit cards, overdrafts, childcare costs, they can all impact this. So the amount of children you have also impacts your net disposable income. So some financial advisors would recommend that if you have a loan, you do your best to pay it off before applying for a mortgage, as it may impact how much a lender will give you. And some financial advisors would say, no, don't pay it off. So that will really depend on the lender. So I always recommend people maybe just go to a broker, and they will be able to kind of talk to you about that, because not all loans should be paid off. Some might need to, and some may not need to. For example, I had a PCP on a car, and we didn't have to do anything with that. It was fine. So you really need to get kind of professional advice on that, and it's on a case by case basis. There's no kind of one rule fits all when it comes to paying back loans. But basically, lenders usually won't want to see you spending more than 40 or 50% of your net income on your debts. The next thing you need to score well rely on is your credit history. So just aim to have a clean credit history for at least 5 years. As I said, any small imperfection can go against you when you're looking for a mortgage. So definitely just make sure you do that, centralcreditregister.ie. And then next one is your employment history. So ideally, you'll be in the same job for at least 1 year before you're making a mortgage application. Most lenders will require you to be out of any probation period, or if you're self-employed, you're going to need at least 2 years of certified accounts. If you're in a probation period, it might be worth asking your employer if they consider waiving it or making you permanent, as you'd like to apply for a mortgage. Also, I do know sometimes if you're switching jobs, if you're within the same industry, you might get away with it as well. So again, you need to talk to a good broker on that. And I'd recommend Own the Mortgage Guy on Instagram and Finance Solutions. I'm working with them this year on my Instagram page, and they're excellent. So I definitely would recommend you get in touch with them when it comes to your mortgage. And then your current account maintenance. This is really where you need to show you're organized with your money. So as I said earlier, make sure you're not missing any payments or going into your overdraft regularly, and don't gamble. This doesn't mean that you can't spend your money as you wish. You can go ahead and enjoy yourself. The point is to show that you can afford the repayments at the higher stress test amount alongside your regular lifestyle. So this is how I beat the stress test and got the 4.5 exemption. You might want to take this down. So step one, I went to ccpc.ie. And I figured out what my repayments would be on the mortgage. So what you do is just go onto that and choose whatever seems to be the average interest rate. Okay. Then step two is you take your monthly repayment amount and multiply that by 1.3. So if your mortgage repayments are going to be $1,250 a month, you need to save 1.3 times that. So $1,250 multiplied by 1.3 is €1,625. Okay, so you need to be saving that every month. Now, if you're paying rent, that can be included in it. So if you're paying €1,000 rent, then you need to be saving $625. And those two combined give you $1,625 for that given example. Step three is you basically just aim to save this stress test amount every month for at least 6 months prior to your mortgage application. We saved it for 12 months consistently before we applied for a mortgage. And as I said, this can include your rent and your savings. So you can combine the two. If you're paying rent, you add that to your savings on top. Now, the stress test can often change. 1.3 worked for us. With interest rates going up, you might do well to change this to 1.4 times your expected mortgage amount. Again, a mortgage broker or financial advisor would be better placed to advise you on this. But just something to note, to get an exemption, lenders will usually want to make sure that you have a property in mind. They may even require you to be sale agreed before letting you know if you can have an exemption, which to me is mad, sounds counterintuitive, but they're the rules. And banks and other lenders may consider granting exemptions to mortgage lending guidelines, such as loan to income limits for borrowers with higher than average salaries. This is because borrowers with higher salaries are likely to have an easier time making their mortgage repayments as they have a larger income to draw from. So as a result, lenders may view these borrowers as less risky and be more willing to grant exemptions to the guidelines. So basically, the more you earn, the easier it is, because if you're earning 30 grand, but you're paying your, you know, 600 quid on your bills, like your internet and all that. But if you're earning 60 grand, you might still only be paying the same 600 quid a month on bills. So like, everyone's bills are the same, but their incomes aren't the same. Do you get me? It's like, inflation isn't the same for everyone. The richer you are, the less it impacts you. It's also important to note that each lender has its own policies and criteria for granting exemptions, and not all borrowers with higher salaries will necessarily be eligible. It's just, as I said, good idea to speak with a mortgage broker or lender to get a better understanding of the options available to you and the requirements that you're going to need to meet. Now, here's another little tip I just want to throw in, because this catches people out a lot. If you're hoping to purchase, say, a one-bedroom property or a studio, it's possible that a mortgage lender may require a higher deposit, and that may range from 20% to 30%. This is because these types of properties have been known to depreciate in value more quickly than other types of properties. So as a result, lenders may be a little bit more cautious about lending a high proportion of the purchase price on a studio or a one bed. So just that's something important to consider when you're doing your searching for a home and budgeting for the purchase. So the reasons we have these lending rules in place is due to the madness with lending before the 2008 crash. And in my opinion, I think these lending limits are good, because without them, house prices would be even higher. I know they relaxed them in the UK and prices went through the roof again. So that kind of that the crash back in 2008 was, you know, a serious period of economic downturn and was caused by the global financial crisis. And basically, the Irish economy relied heavily on the construction and real estate industry, and they experienced massive contraction. And as you know, many Irish banks and financial institutions struggled financially, and we had the government bailouts and all of that. So it was obviously madness back then, but that is why we have these rules now, and the economy has since recovered, but we still have those long-term impacts on lending and on the country. Now, as I said, there are generally more exemptions available at the beginning of the year, so I'd recommend using a mortgage broker, as they're just more clued into the market and they'll know which lender will suit your application best and which lenders have exemptions available, because they can just ring up their contact in that lender and be like, have you guys any exemptions available? And they'll just know better than if you were just applying yourself to all the different lenders. Now, let's talk a little bit about savings. So if you save regularly, but you also need to live a little. So this might sound a bit gloomy, and you're probably listening to this thinking, oh great, the fun stops here. But from personal experience, yes, you do need to take great care about where your money is going and how much of it. But this concern does not need to be all consuming. Small changes can make a big difference, and there's room to allow for some of the little luxuries that you enjoy, your avocado toast, your lattes, all the usual crap that they throw at us, the boomers. So for example, we tried to make coffees at home during the week, and then we went out for takeaway ones at the weekend, and you know, just got to enjoy them that little bit more rather than getting takeaway ones every day. When we were saving up, we limited takeaway food to kind of more so special occasions. Always did a big shop at the weekend, made something nice for dinner, and bought a few nice treats. And that kind of just removed the temptation to spend food on takeaways every weekend, because we had food in the house. And it also meant we had like basically enough food to last a week, and doing batch cooking and meal prep and all of that. It's also a really good way of losing weight. Anyway, so those rules, you know, we obviously broke them every now and again, but we were really, really strict for a good couple of years. And it didn't really feel like we were missing out, you know, like we still got to enjoy ourselves, still got to spend our money. Like we weren't living like monks, but we were just really organized with everything. And things just became routine. It's in a strange way, it kind of just help like encourage us to have kind of more appreciation for like the simple pleasures of just going for a coffee and just enjoying it. So I'll just give you a couple of examples here, right? So let's say if you're having 1 to 2 coffees a day at €3 a coffee, that's €21 to €42 a week. Okay, so if you made them at home, that might cost €5 to €10. So your savings per week is about €16 to €32, and your savings over 6 months could be anywhere between €384 and €768. And that's just for coffee. I know I saved about £1,500 in 6 months on coffee, because I was drinking loads of coffee outside, and so I got a good coffee machine at home, and I still have it now, and I still will have my normal coffees at home because they're really nice. They taste just like they do from a coffee shop, and then on the weekends we get them. So that habit has kind of stuck with us. And let's say you're eating food in work, if you're getting kind of 1 to 2 meals a day at €10 a meal, that's €70 to €140 a week. Whereas if you're doing them at home, might be €10 or €20 a week. So you're looking at a saving of around €60 to €120 a week, and over 6 months, that's anywhere between kind of €1,500 to €2,880 in savings over 6 months. So as you can see, making coffee and meals at home, that can be massive for savings compared to buying these things from, say, a coffee shop or a takeaway. Now, I know that's only a few grand, and you probably listen to this going, well, house prices are outrageous, and you know, where's that €3,000 gonna go? But like for us, that €3,000 was a new front door, you know, rather than, so we got to splash out on a nice front door instead of a cheap one. You know, it all goes into an investment, the biggest investment of your life. So that's just, look, there's no right or wrong way to manage or limit your spending. So a friend of mine shared how every payday she would transfer a particular amount of money to her Revolut, and this would be her like fun money for the month. So money to spend on coffees, nights out, clothes, and so on. And some months would be quieter than others, so that would allow her funds to build up in her Revolut. However, she was always stuck to what was available on the card. So Look, I'm sure you all have your own little tips and tricks, or maybe you could read a few finance books or whatever, and you might get other tips and tricks from other sources. So just try a few, see what works for you, and stick with those. The coffee stuff worked for us, the not eating out worked for us. We saved an absolute fortune. So the trick is just try not let the saving become all consuming to the point of feeling like you need to like micromanage every last cent. That's not what it's about. Agus é le haghaidh an episode seo of the Crazy House Prices podcast. I hope you found these insights informative and empowering. Remember, the journey to buying your home is very, very challenging, but it will be incredibly rewarding with the right preparation and knowledge. I just know myself that feeling of getting your keys and turning them in the door for the first time is incredible, and it's a feeling that I think should be possible for everyone. So if you're enjoying the podcast and my Instagram and you would like to show your support, please head over to patreon.com/crazyhouseprices. Your support keeps this podcast and the Instagram page going, but you also get exclusive access to bonus content like detailed Q&As where I answer every single question sent in. Plus, you get the unique opportunity to engage with my community of over 100,000 followers. So you can send in questions basically that Google could never answer. And if I can't answer it, then I can go to my audience and say, has anybody heard of this? And within seconds, I usually get a reply. It's like the biggest kind of collective investigation that you can think of. It's an amazing community I've built up over on the page. I'm really proud of it. So you can do that, ask my audience if you're a patron. You just send me a DM and I'll get back to you. So don't miss out on those exclusive perks. But also my book, How to Buy a Home in Ireland, which was a number one bestseller, that's available nationwide. I know a lot of places are out of stock, but if you go to the link in my bio on my Instagram, you should be able to get it somewhere. It's also on Kindle. Anyway, that's enough promo. I will chat to you all soon. S'long a fold.